All right, so let's learn. So I think we're towards the end of Birchas HaShachar. So you should all pat yourselves on the back. You made it this far. From Oida'ani all the way to the end of Birchas HaShachar. It's not so bad. All right, so the last of the brachas in the morning of Birchas HaShachar is the bracha of Hamaver Sheina Me'enai. So let's see what the Gemara says, like the source of the bracha. And see where it takes us. So in the Maromok in the morning, you have a Gemara in Brachas. That's where, again, as we've been learning, that's the headquarters of Birchas HaShachar. So it's a Gemara Brachas Samach Mebeis. The Gemara says, again, this is a consistent thing we've seen throughout, that when the Gemara records Birchas HaShachar, as they record, the Gemara records saying each bracha corresponding to the activity that it's about. Nowadays, again, we don't do that. We just say them all in one shot. But the Gemara records it like this. Kimashi ape, when a person wakes up in the morning and you wash your face. So lema, you should make the following bracha. Again, this activity of washing one's face, the Gemara like understands it to be sort of like now you're really fully awake. You know, until you're a little bit groggy, you know, you're sort of half up, half sleeping. You wash your face, now you're fully alert. So the Gemara says, now that you washed your face, lema, you should make the following bracha. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Hamaver Chevle Sheina Me'enai, that blessed be Hashem, the one that removes the ropes of sleepfulness from my eyes, Usnuma Miafapai, and drowsiness from my eyelids. That's the bracha. And the Gemara continues, V'yirotzen b'lfenecha Hashem Elokai, and may it be Hashem's will, and so on, Shetargilinu B'sar Asecha, that Hashem, you should accustom me, I should become accustomed and used to and comfortable with your Torah. I should become attached to your mitzvahs. I shouldn't be brought chas v'shalom to sin today. Not to other types of sins. I shouldn't come to be tested. I shouldn't be embarrassed. Everything should go well. And the Gemara records the rest of the Yirotzen that we say every day. And the Gemara, the ending is v'sagmuleinu chasadim toivim, and Hashem, you should give me good kindness chasadim toivim. You should perform for me good kindness. Baruch atah Hashem goyimel chasadim toivim la'am Yisrael. That's the Gemara. Okay, so first of all, right away, there's just a number of basic points that the Rishonim bring out. Again, the Gemara records that this is the bracha, bracha to Hashem, and so on. Hamaver chevli sheinim einai usnu ma'afapai v'hiratzen. So is this one thing? Is this one long thing? Two separate things? So in Maromok number two, so Yataisus in Mesechus Brachas on Memvav Amid Aleph, a little bit earlier in the Gemara. The Gemara over there, Memvav Amid Aleph, is talking about a principle in Halacha that we know that something that's called a bracha smucha l'chaverta. Right? In other words, if you have two brachas that are one is following the other, then the second bracha doesn't start with a baruch. It just sort of flows. It can rely on the baruch of the first bracha, right? So, Shmoneh Esrei is a classic example of that, right? It starts with a baruch, baruch atah Hashem, Elokeinu, Elokei Vaseinu, and so on and so forth. Mm-hmm. And then the second bracha doesn't start with a baruch, it starts at the Gibor. Why doesn't it start with a baruch? The answer is because it's flowing from the first one. That's a bracha, smukha, a bracha that's next to its friend, so the baruch of the first one works for the rest of the chain. So the Gemara over there and Tosfos over there is discussing these rules and the regulations. Now Tosfos' opinion is that the only way you're going to have that principle apply is if both brachas are sort of considered to be long brachas. Okay, so let's say by Shmoneh Esrei. So the first bracha is long. What makes it long? It starts with the baruch and ends with the baruch. Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Elokei Vaseinu, Baruch atah Hashem Magen Avram. That's classified as a long bracha. The rest of the brachas of Shmoneh Esrei are also classified as long brachas. They end with a baruch. Baruch atah Hashem Echayim Esim, Baruch atah Hashem Akel HaKadosh. So when you're dealing with brachas that are classified as long, then you could have this principle. The beginning of a baruch of a long bracha will continue on for the rest of the long brachas that follow. But says Tosfos a principle, when you have a short bracha, like a shahakol niv dvara, just like a one-liner type of thing, and then it's followed by longer brachas, the baruch of a short bracha is not going to work for the long brachas that follow it. That's the principle that Tosfos says. Tosfos proves it. There's many situations like that. Tosfos proves it. One of the simple things is because if you were to, again, this is in parentheses, you don't have to know this, but the idea is that if if a baruch from a short bracha can theoretically work to continue on with longer brachas, then it's very hard to know where the short bracha ends and the next bracha begins. Like, imagine if, Ata Gibor would follow Shahakol. So, Bracha to Hashem, Akeinu Melechem, Shahakol, Nimitvarei, Ata Gibor, Lad Mash. It's very hard to know where the bracha ends. When you're dealing with long brachas, which has an ending, Bracha to Hashem, Magen Avram, okay, so now stop. Like, I know that the first bracha ended and the second bracha is continuing. So, now that I know the second bracha is continuing, does it need to start with the word Baruch or not? So, okay, so I can rely on the Baruch of the first one. But when you're dealing with a short to long, it's not so clear. If you were to use this principle that a Baruch of the short one can be used for the next long one, then it's not so clear where the short ends and the long begins. You know what I'm saying? So because of that, this principle doesn't apply. So that's the general rule. When you have a short bracha next to a long bracha, the long bracha is going to have to start with its own Baruch. It can't rely on the Baruch of the short one. So Tosis is dealing with the following question. In this thing called Hamavir Shenem Einai, so Tosis is thinking, well, there's a short bracha over here. Brocha to Hashem, Lakinam Alchem, Hamavir Shenem Einai, Usnum Avavpoip. Finished. Shakel. That's a short bracha. And then there's a long bracha, which is Yihiratzin and so on. Brocha to Hashem, Hagoyim Alchasad and Tarim Lami Yisrael. So Tosis is bothered, why does the long one, Yihiratzin, why does it not start with a baruch? Well, you're going to tell me because it's relying on the baruch of Hamavir Shenem Einai. Well, that can't be because that's a short bracha. And the baruch of a short bracha can't be used for the next long bracha that follows it. So that's the problem that Taisis has. If you view this as two separate brachas, there's a Hamavir Shenem Einai, short bracha, followed by a long one, Yehol Yihiratzin, Bracha to Hashem, Hagoyim Chasad Lama Yisrael, then the rules should dictate that the second bracha, Yihiratzin, should start with a baruch. It shouldn't be allowed to rely on the baruch of the short one that preceded it. So therefore, because of this, as we'll see in a second, Taisis therefore says, this is all one big bracha. You have to say it's one big bracha. Because if you think of it as a short one followed by a long one, it doesn't fit the rules. So that's where Taisis is coming from, that it's all one big bracha. It starts Hamavir Shenem Einai, and it continues on until Bracha to Hashem, Agam El Chasam Dalam Yisrael. It's one big bracha, and it has to be like that. Otherwise, the rules don't fit. That's what Taisis says in Maseches Brachos. Let's see together. So again, Marmok number two. Taisis is raising the question, Yehi Ratzin, this second part, Yehi Ratzin, and so on, Hagam El Chasam Taivim, Lemihi Smucha. What is it? What long bracha is it connected to that it doesn't have to start with a baruch? That's the problem that Tosis has. For Amir Rabbeinu Tam. So if Rabbeinu Tam said shehi min habracha, the answer is it's not relying on any other baruch. All it is one big bracha. There's the one bracha starts Hamavir Shenem Einai and it ends Hagam Al Chasad Taivim Lama Yisrael. It's one big bracha. Baruch Ato Hashem Hamavir Shenem Einai v'chulu, and it continues into the Yihiratzin. And therefore,
it's not the same either.
Huh?
It's not the same issue.
Oh, so that's what we're going to be discussing. That's what we're going to see in a second. But Tosis just breaks it down for us. V'tzarech leimer, because says Rabbeinu Tam that it's one big bracha, v'tzarech leimer v'yihiratzin. That's what you have to say, the vav. V'yihiratzin. To continue from the short bracha, because it's not a separate bracha. It's one long bracha. V'im taimer. So now Tosis raises the issue of im taimer. We can ask me now, here's the problem. The problem is, if now it's considered to be one big bracha, so now the bracha starts talking about one subject matter and ends in a completely different subject matter. The beginning of the bracha is talking about what? The Ma'avir Shenem Einai, how we're thanking Hashem that a person wakes up in the morning and you're fully awake and so on. And the bracha goes off on this tangent. If it's the same bracha, then it's strange. It goes off on this tangent of davening to Hashem, that Targalim Sarasecha, we should have a day that's just drawn to Torah and Mitzvahs, it's Gevaldik, okay, whatever. It's a little bit strange. And then the bracha ends off, V'sag Milenu Chasad and Toivim, that you should do to me, Hashem, good kindness, and I should have a lot of good brachas today. Bracha to Hashem, HaGoyim El Chasad and Toivim, Lam Yisrael. So the bracha started talking about, being awake in the morning, and ends off, HaGoyim El Chasad and Toivim, Lam Yisrael. Again, if it's one big bracha, that's very strange. If it's two separate brachas just next to each other, okay, fine. But it's one big bracha. So Taisis Vim Toimer, you could ask the question, Halekol HaBrachas Kulon, Tzarech Leimu B'chasimas and Meim Psichasa. So ask Taisis, the classic rule is that the seal of a bracha has to reflect the beginning of the bracha. So the question is, how does the end of the bracha over here reflect the beginning? Voleka, that's not what's going on over here. So the Yeshloimer, so Tosis says like this, the Shaper having me en psicha, samuch lechasima, mehamavir. That the answer is that, right, that even in this bracha as well, we can find something reminiscent of the beginning of the bracha close to the ending. How so? Because we say, v'sag milenu chasadim toivim, we're saying the end of the bracha is that Hashem should give good kindness to us. And what kindness, and the fact that Hashem, we're asking for kindness and good things, that's similar to how the bracha started. How so? Because the bracha also started talking about things that Hashem did good for us. What's the good thing that the bracha starts with? That Hashem gives us strength to wake up in the morning and with vigor and with kayach. Okay, that's also a chesed. So the bracha starts with a chesed of Hashem, and it ends with the davening v'segmenu chesed toivim hagoyim chesed dal Yisrael. So it's still on point. It's still a part of the same theme. That's what Tosfos says. Haynu gemilas chesedim, and that's the chesed that the bracha is really discussing. Shakadosh Baruch Hu ma'avir sheinam in adam, that Hashem removes sleep from a person, u'mechadish koychai, and regenerates his strength. V'chulu v'haynu ke'en psichas, and that's similar to how the bracha started. So that's how Tosfos halachically legitimizes saying that it's one big bracha. The bracha starts talking about the inyan of waking up in the morning, ends with a general bracha for chesed. The answer is okay. Waking up in the morning is also chesed. So that's the way to do it. Okay. Fine. Obviously, it goes without saying that it's a little bit, as we mentioned many, many times, whenever you find something that in halacha is a stretch, you have to think to yourself, like, Chazal did this on purpose. Like, there was nothing, once Chazal did this, now we're forced to accept it, right? But Chazal didn't have to do it like this. Make two separate brachas. What's compelling Chazal to make one big bracha? And we have to somehow figure out how there's some theme running through it. Waking up in the morning is a chesed. So is every other one of the brachas ha-shachars. I mean, literally, every bracha that you'll ever make in your life is about a chesed, right? So it's very, very strange. Okay, but that's, so you have to know. So whenever this situation like this happens, it's screaming pnimius. It's screaming that there's something up beside that's going on over here that halach is trying to sort of juggle and handle. So we have to discuss what the pnimius is. That's number one. But there's another issue, which is like this. If the chesed, so to speak, that the bracha is really discussing is, And its legitimacy is because it's referencing back the chesed that the bracha started with, which is waking up in the morning, then why is it Hagoyim el chesed and toivim, what? Lama Yisrael. Hagoyim, don't wake up in the morning. So I understand, if you isolate the end of the bracha, so it's talking about specific chesed to the Jewish people. But again, Tosfos says the legitimacy of the bracha is because it's referencing, at least somewhat referencing back to what it started with, which is not specifically a Jewish chesed. So take a look at Marmok number 3, the Bach, one of the great Mefarshim, so one of the great Achronim. So the Bach in Arachayim, Simen Mem Vav, so he raises the issue. He says like this, how does the bracha end? He says, Goyim el chasad and toivim la'am Yisrael, right? That's the ending of the bracha. Keinu b'zidori Ashkenazim. So he says that's the nusach that we find in nusach Ashkenaz. V'hu loymar, and says the Bach, the reason why we're talking about chasad and toivim la'am Yisrael, because it is true, and as Tosfos does say, that this bracha is legitimate because, technically speaking, the bracha started talking about a chesed. But if you remember, like the middle chunk of Vihi Ratzon was talking, it was davening to Hashem that we should become accustomed to Torah mitzvahs, and Hashem shouldn't bring us any tests today, and so on. So says the Bach, since at the end of the day we also mention a lot of tefillos about those things, and those are specifically related to Yidden, so the end of the bracha is Hagam Chasadim Toivim La'am Yisrael. So he says, Chasadim Toivim, that the Chasadim Toivim that we're asking for, and that we're confident that Hashem will give us, is Shematzli Son of Menachei Tvavin, that Hashem will fulfill our request, that it will save us from Averis, Vishle Yishud Bonosatan, V'Yitzahara, all the things that we did daven for by the Yiratzin, so that we're also referencing by the end of the bracha. Ve'ina Goymel La'am Yisrael, that's only something that that we would assume the Rabbanu Shem is going to do for Yid, and Lefisha Yisrael, but because Klal Yisrael, Nishmasim, Ha'etzer HaKavid, because Klal Yisrael, the Neshama of Yid, comes from the treasure house of Hashem's glory, Mezukach, it's clarified, Umetzurif, Sheva Amim, it's the most pristine of all souls, Vehim Etzam HaKadusha V'Tahara, and it's the essence of holiness and purity, Elisha Asar Sheva Isu Ma'akiv, you know, the leaven, the Yetzahara, and other outside forces come and stop Yid from being true to themselves. Who has sudden, who has Sahara. Valkein, Hashem lo yitzvanu. That's why we can say the bracha with confidence that Hashem will certainly protect us, because any sin and any problem is not natural to us anyway. But that's only by a yid. You can't say that by a guy. So that's, again, Vaiter. So this is like, again, juggling going on over here. Legitimacy of the bracha is because it's referencing back to the chesed of waking up in the morning, which is to all humanity. But since we veered from that to expand the bracha to talk about other tefillahs and other things that we want, which are specifically religious in nature, so the end is Agam Chazanter Mam Yisrael. Okay, now the Bach does say of the Rambam Messiah. Truth is, if you look in the Rambam, so in the Rambam's nusach of his Siddur, so it ends Baruch Atah Hashem Agam Chazan Tovim. Finished. Vesula. That's it, and that obviously would avoid. Would avoid the question. Ubesmach, or another version of the bracha in Sefer Mitzvahs Kadin, one of the Rishonim, Messiah, Hagoyim al Chasan Tovim, Libri Yosef. That Hashem does kindness to all of His creations. That's obviously, again, where is the Rambam and Mismach coming from? Because the bracha is referencing back to the chesed of waking up in the morning, which is to everybody. So why limit it to Am Yisrael? V'nischoseinu Iker, but says the bracha, the Aaron Nosach of Ashkenaz is the Iker one to go with, and that's, I think at this point even Svardim, I think everyone has that Nosach of Gavin Chasson Tovim, Am Yisrael. But a couple of this is the issue. Okay, so what's the, fine, so as I said, whenever Nigla, things are a little bit hazy and like strange, and seem to be forced, there's something going on in Nistar. So what's the Pnimius, what's happening when you make the bracha of Amar V'Sheinu Me'enai? So there's a sefer that we have from Rashash, from the Shalom Shirabi, the Nahar Shalom. So in the Nahar Shalom, there's a whole section about the bracha of Amar V'Sheinu Me'enai. It's one of the deepest, most difficult sections in all of Pinyus HaTar to a certain degree, is this bracha. So, okay. But I'm going to try to explain it very simply. We mentioned many, many times that the storyline of Adam and Chava, how Adam and Chava were created, and the whole process of how they became a couple, is something that every neshama has to go through constantly, every day, every 3 days. There's different ways how to do it, but it has to go through that process. So, what's the story? So, we know the story. The Rebbeinu Shlomo first creates Adam and Chava back to back. That's not the tachlis. The tachlis is for them to be face to face. So what the Rebbeinu Shlom does is that he puts Adam to sleep. And while Adam's asleep, he saw his Chava off. Chava's developed from there. And then they're brought face to face. That's the simple story. Now let me make it more complicated as far as break down for you the storyline as far as the neshama is concerned, a little bit, a little window into it. These words are not going to mean much, okay? But we'll then explain Avodah Hashem, so it'll become a little bit more palatable. There's two, just like there's an Adam and there's a Chava, there's two parts of the neshama, okay? So the terminology. We could use the same terminology. There's an Adam side of the neshama and a Chava side of the neshama. I guess for simplicity's sake, we'll use that, even though there could be other, maybe more proper terminology to use. But for simplicity's sake, we'll use it like that. There's the Adam and there's the Chava. Now, the Arizal taught as follows, is that There are two. Here, let's put it this way. There, again, just the words. The Rizal said as follows: there are two madrigas in when you have this infrastructure in your neshama. That's called the Adam. That's called the Chava. Just like when it comes to an actual person, every person has a consciousness, right? So a person's asleep, right? When you're asleep, it means your conscious mind has escaped you. You're unconscious. So what happens when you wake up? It means the neshama has entered your body strongly. In the language of the Arizal, that's called you now have meichen. Meichen has now entered your system. You have meichen. The Arizal taught as follows. There's two madregas of meichen. There's two types of consciousness, two madregas of consciousness. There's one madrega of consciousness which is called achardika consciousness. We've mentioned this many times. Achardika consciousness. Achar means from behind. It's conscious, it's spiritual sensitivity, somewhat. Not stark, but somewhat. Achar. And then there is spiritual consciousness, it's called panim. That's called panim. When, in that first initial madrega of meichen, which is called achar, so just like in the storyline of Adam and Chava are back to back. The Arizal taught that when Adam and Chava are back to back, the process is as follows: is that the meichen of this, structure that every single one of us has in our neshama, that's called Adam and Chava, when they're back to back, the meichen is meichen of Achar. And the way it works is that primarily the meichen of Achar is given to Adam. And the Chava part is sort of just getting a ha'ara, that's the language of the Arizal, ha'ara, a little bit of illumination, an aura from it, siphoning off a little bit kayach. But the main, the etzem meichen, the essential meichen is primarily by the Adam, and Chava gets a ha'ara, illumination from it. And that's the situation. That's the situation. That's the situation that would result in an achar b'achar matziv, where again, there's the meichen of achar, and it's primarily the etzem is by the etzem adam, the etzem meichen, the essential meichen is by the adam, and Chava's drawing energy off of that. Then the Rabbanu Shlalom does this process of nesira, of separating Chava, that she should develop as her own entity, thus being able to have face to face. What does that happen? How does that happen? So it says the reason like this. What happens is that Adam is put to sleep. In other words, the essential meichen, which was until now, the meichen of Achar, which was until now essentially by the Adam side, is now removed. That's why Adam goes to sleep. What happens to that essential meichen? Now, obviously, when the essential meichen is removed from Adam, then certainly the aura of it, the ha'ara, that was until now going into Chava, is certainly also removed. So what happens to all of that meichen? What happens is that it actually goes all into Chava. All into Chava. And when it goes exclusively into Chava, this gives Chava the strength to develop herself. That side of the neshama. Again, I'm not talking about a person. I'm talking about that side of the neshama. That's called Chava, develops herself. Now here's the chiddush, says the Arizal. Not only does that happen, but then even the meichin, the next madrigal meichin, which is called meichin d'panim, the meichin of panim enters into the system and also goes into Chava. So Chava now has everything. Chava has the essential meichen of Achar. Certainly she has the aura that she had before. But now she also has the meichen d'panim. All this is happening while Adam is asleep. Then through this process, Chava is very stark and very well developed. So now what happens? Now it's time for Adam to wake up because now he has a helpmate. So he's an Ezer Kenegda now. So what happens? So now what happens is all of that is removed from Chava. The essential meichen d'achar, the essential meichen d'panim, it's all removed from Chava. It is put now into Adam. Adam regains the essential meichen of achar, and now he experiences for the first time the essential meichen of panim. And so Nebuch, now Chava, what does Chava have? So now Chava return. Now Chava is able to, what, she was built through the experience of having it all by herself. But now that it's all given and returned to Adam, now Chava is able to draw a ha'ara, the illumination, the aura of both Meichin d'Achar and both Meichin d'Panim, which is now in the system of Adam. So at the end of the day, what happens is that Chava started off, as far as the storyline of Chava is concerned, it's like in three stages, right? So the first experience of Chava is that she's back to back with Adam, just getting an aura from Meichen d'Achar. And then there was this middle stage of where Adam is asleep and Chava has everything. The essential Meichen of Achar, the essential Meichen upon it, mamish, everything. And then the final stage is that all the Meichen is back to Adam, And all she's getting is an aura again, but now she's not just getting the aura of Ochar, she's also getting the aura of Panim. That's the storyline. Said the Ari HaKadosh, there are two brachas that we make. The Rashash really explains this. The Arizal also, but the Rashash brings this out. This storyline takes place to every single one of us all the time. All the time. When before you go to sleep, there's a bracha that you make, Hamapil Chavli Shena, Hamapil Shena Alenai, right? Hamapil. Yeah, that's Hamapil Shena Alenai, Snuma Alef Apai, right? Which is really the inverse of Hamavir Shena Alenai, right? So when you go to sleep, you're saying a bracha, thanking Hashem for putting ropes of set of sleepfulness on your eyes and drowsiness on your eyelids. When you wake up, you're making a bracha on Mavir. Thank you for taking that away. Says the Rashash, this is the process. When you're making the bracha of Hamapil, what's happening at that time, happens at midnight, what happens at that time is, until that point, relative to the next day, you were in a state within your soul, you were in a state of Adam and Chava Achar Bachar. That's what was going on. Comes the bracha of Hamapil, what's happening at night is this second stage, which is Adam is being put to sleep. And that's what you're saying. Hamapil Shein Al Einai, Usnu Malaf Apai. You're asking, you're thanking Hashem for sleepfulness to come upon you. The sleepfulness is talking on a spiritual level means Adam is being put to sleep. Now, what happens when Adam is put to sleep? All that meichin of Achar plus the meichin upon him goes into Chava. That's long vivul zach. Comes the next morning. Now it's time for the third stage, which is for everything to return to Adam, and for Chava to return to her natural state, which is not having the essential meichin, but drawing an aura off of Adam. But because, at least in the middle, she had everything on her own, so now she's fully developed, and when everything sort of returns back to its natural way of Adam having the essential meichin and Chava, you know, having the aura off of it, now she's fully developed, and she's receiving not just an aura of Ochar, like she did in the beginning, but also an aura of Panim. That's what's going on, and that's what we're saying with this bracha, of Hamavir Shena Al Einai, Hamavir Shena Me'enai, Snuma Me'af Al Poi. In other words, the way the Rashash breaks it down is as follows. The first part of the bracha, Hamavir Shena Me'enai, Snuma Me'af Al Poi, is saying, thank you Hashem for removing sleepfulness from my eyes. In other words, that bracha is acknowledging and corresponding to the stage of the process where all the meichen of Achar and Panim is being removed from Chava and returning to Adam. So Adam is waking up. And what's the Hiratzen? The Hiratzen is the next stage, which is, now that Adam has that, the Meichen, now the Iris of that Meichen, the Ha'ara, the Aura of that Meichen, then are transmitted to the Chava. And that's the second part of the Hiratzen. And so, we'll see how the wording of the bracha fits this process, but that's what's going on over here. This is why the bracha is juggling two things. It's talking to two separate people. Or not two separate people, but it's dealing with two separate sides of the soul. There's the Adam side, which is celebrating the fact that it's waking up and the essential Meichan of Achar upon him is returning to it. That's a Mavir Chel V'Sheinim Einu Stum Afapai. And then you switch gears, and now you're sort of reflecting the Chava side, which is celebrating the fact that now she obviously has an awake, you know, a counterpart. And she's able to at least get the iris from the essential meichin of Achar and Panim, and that's the Hiratzen. The question is, what in the world does this mean? What does this mean, Avodas Hashem? What does it mean? What does it look like? Again, when the Arizal and the Rashash talk, they're talking mamish himmeldik, mamish on their levels, and it's all, you know, using physical descriptions for things that are completely not physical. So Chassidus comes and sort of like packages and explains it. And then what's amazing is that not only when you have Chassidus, not only does it make these ideas more relatable, but it actually makes it fit very, very well in the simple pshat as well. It sort of fits well. Okay, so let's break this down. What does it mean, these three stages, right? So you have Achar ba'achar, where all you're dealing with is the Meichan of Achar, and then Adam has it, and Chava just has a ha'ara off of it, right? You follow all this? Yeah, we're good? Yeah. Second stage, Adam is asleep, but all the Iris, Mamash, Acher, Panim, you name it, it's all in Chava. And the final stage, all the Iris, Acher, and Panim is all in Adam. And now Chava's, you know, again, similar to how her the first stage, which is she's getting Iris, but now at least she's getting Iris of not just Acher, but also of Panim. So what does this all look like in Avodas Hashem? So I'll give you, what we're going to do is like this. We're going to pick an example in Avodas Hashem of davening, and we'll go through each stage, what that looks like. What does it look like, stage one? What does it look like, stage two? What does it look like, stage three? And we'll see it in the brachas. Okay, stage one. Stage one is what? Is where you have Adam and Chava back to back. There's Moichin of Acher. Again, as I said, Adam has the Moichin, and Chava is just getting the iris of it. What does that look like? So it's like this. The part of Chava in the soul represents your actual activities, like your actual doing of mitzvahs, your actual performance of mitzvahs. That's what Chava means. The Zachar, Adam, represents sort of what's going on behind the scenes and behind the scenes of your own consciousness. We're not talking about something that even, it's not a matter of what other people don't know. Even you don't know. The Adam part of your soul is the part of your soul of how spiritually sensitive you are. Of like what's really motive, like how much ruchnis, how much of God's presence are you really experiencing and really feeling? That's the Adam side. So the Adam side is the part of you that's picking up on stuff, that's picking up on God's presence. The Chava is like, okay, this is what we're doing because of it. So the first stage is Meichen of Acher. What does that mean, Meichen of Acher? Meichen of Acher means a very low level sensitivity to Hashem's presence. It's something, but it's very low level, very low level. So when you're dealing with Meichen to Acher, for example, you're dealing with a Jew, that's from, he's doing his thing. He goes to Shacharis, or she goes to, you know, they daven three times a day, and they're on the program. They're on the program. Someone who's not on the program, that's no Meichen at all. We're talking about someone that has Meichen, but it's just Meichen to Acher. So what is Meichen to Acher? I mean, Meichen to Acher means that certainly there's a part of their soul, which is called the Adam, that feels Hashem's presence, but it's so subtle. It's very, very subtle. And because of that, the chava experience from that is what's called mitzvah anashim ulamada. What does mitzvah anashim ulamada mean? Mitzvah anashim ulamada means a person is just going through the motions. Going through the motions. Like you have a yid that he, you know, he or she goes to shul, right, or davens, whatever it is, and they're just saying the words. They're just saying the words. No big kavana, no big, just saying the words. So what is going on in the neshama to result in that experience? In that experience, there's definitely some meichin there, and their adam is certainly receiving some meichin, because if there was no meichin at all, they would just like sleep and go to bed. Finish. They'll be not motivated at all. They're not particularly going through a traumatic episode or some difficulty in business or in life where they're like, you know, compelled to go to shul because it's just a regular day. If it's a regular day, if they had no meichen at all, they'd just be sleeping. They'd just be going, like, the fact that they're doing something already means that there's meichen there. But it's very, very subtle, and it's low level. It's called acher. And so because of that, the words that they're saying, which is the chava, is getting, all it is drawing off a little bit of an aura, a little bit of an aura from that meichen. So the meichen to begin with is low level. And so whenever Chava is just drawing off her aura off of that, so the Yiddishkeit, the actual tangible Yiddishkeit, and the actual tangible davening, so to speak, that Chava represents, that Chava is just a ha'ara. It's a... It's just saying the words, which is gevul. Okay, just saying the words, fine. But then there's another. That's stage one. But then there's another stage. What's the next stage? Adam goes to sleep. What does it mean? Adam goes to sleep. Adam goes to sleep means the neshama. All of a sudden, the lights are off. The lights are off. It feels nothing. But here's the amazing thing: when the lights are off and the neshama feels nothing, that means now something becomes triggered. Because what happens is now all that meichen doesn't go away. All that meichen actually goes to chava now. What does that look like? Not only the achar, but even the panim goes to chava. What does that look like? That looks like a yid who all of a sudden, I mean, there's different ways how to say it. You could say it hit rock bottom. Or a yid that is going through some sort of real difficulty in life. And so all of a sudden, that same Jew, which until now was just going by habit and was like, just saying the words. There was no big crisis in the person's life. There was no spiritual crisis. There's nothing like that. And they were just comfortable just going through that. That's it. So it was there was Meichen there. That's what they weren't feeling, this Hester pun, and they weren't feeling any crisis spiritually. There was Meichen there. It wasn't too high level. And the davening that they were saying, which is the chava, was just siphoning off of aura. That's all it was. All of a sudden, the next stage, though, is that all of a sudden, Adam goes to sleep. And when Adam goes to sleep, now the soul becomes very, very anxious. And the soul becomes very, it's fight or flight. The soul becomes, it now is pushed into a corner. Like, it doesn't have anywhere to go. It can't just go by habit anymore. It's survival mode, exactly. When that happens, so now what's amazing is that same person, which when there was some level of Meichen, was just going by habit. But now all of a sudden when the lights go off, spiritually speaking, and that translates into all sorts of ways externally, but when really the lights go off inside, then that person is now in survival mode. And what happens is an amazing thing, is that now all of a sudden the words of davening, which was chava, is full of intensity. Full of intensity. And now all of a sudden those words are not coming out just by habit. It's with a lot of kavana. But all of that kavana, which is being focused on in the words of davening, is being generated because there's a part of the soul that is supposed to, that's tailor-made to sense God's presence. It actually doesn't feel God's presence. So that's why it's so panicked. That's why it's funneling all of its strength and energy into the words of davening, because it feels very threatened. It feels very threatened by that. It's in survival mode because of that. And all of this is a gewaltige thing, because what Hashem wants is this guy to develop his davening, or this girl to develop her davening. And so as long as it was in stage one, where there was some basic level of Meichen in Adam, and Adam was like satisfied with that, and all Chava was, which Chava means the words of davening, and the actual Avodas Hashem, was just siphoning off of a little bit of Ha'ara, so it wasn't with a full Meichen in and of itself, it wasn't with a full consciousness. It was just enough consciousness to keep it moving, but not really to stand on its own 2 feet. So then the person was just davening, saying the words. But in order to get the person to really put their energy into davening in a real way, the davening should have a consciousness. So what the Rabbanu Shalom does is puts them to sleep. And now every neshama, even if it might seem to be someone that's not such a big tzaddik or tzaddik, is once Adam is put to sleep, and the part of the neshama that is always used to, from the time of its creation, to experience God's presence, and all of a sudden it doesn't, it immediately goes into shock, it immediately goes into survival mode, fight or flight, and it always fights. And what happens is, the chava part, which is the practical mitzvahs and avodas Hashem, and actually opening a tilim, now goes into overdrive. Because all that meichen is actually funneled into chava, and now it's just completely focused on saying the words properly and so on. But internally, what's happening is that part, which is the Adam, which is tailor-made to just experience God's presence in a peaceful way, it doesn't see it at all, doesn't feel it at all. So all that energy is now just being focused on to develop a person that actually just says the words with truth and sincerity and intensity. But all that is stage two. And all that is what you're saying by the bracha of Hamapul Chavli Shein, Hamapul Shein Aneina, Elainai, before you go to bed. When you're thanking Hashem for that experience, Taka, that for Adam to go to sleep, and for Chava for all that focus and energy to be forced into the words of davening because I don't have anything else to rely on. So now I become a big davener. That's Gevalt Gezach. But then there's stage three. What's stage three? The Rabbanu Shalom wakes Adam up. Amaver Shena Me'enai, right? Usnu Mafapai. All the Meichen now return to Adam, right? So now what happens? But now not just the Meichen of Acher. Now even Panim. So what does it mean, Panim? It means that now the part of the Neshama that's called Adam really is truly sensitive to God's presence, but not like half-baked. The Emes, dveikus and sincere, like all in. Really, einai movada. It has a real strong presence of Hashem's, an awareness of Hashem's presence. So now the question is, what happens to the person's davening? So here's the amazing thing. What happens to the person's davening is that to a certain degree, it reverts back to just saying the words. Because again, when Chava has her own maichin, that means that corresponds to saying the words of davening, which is Chava, spiritually speaking, with great intensity. Just like Chava has her own maichin, so the words, and Chava means dibur. Chava is Malchus. 10 portions of speech came to the world, 9 went to Chava. So speech, which is davening, it means when Chava has her maichin, because Adam goes to sleep, that means davening, that means a davener, that every single word is measured, every single word is said with unbelievable focus and intensity, with pirush hamilos. Person has a sitter with translations and underlining and circling, it's all avoided. But what's the final stage? The final stage is, but when Adam wakes up, and then Adam returns, not just to Achar, but now has Panim. So the person has this much larger, expansive sensitivity to God's presence. So now what happens to the words of davening? So what's amazing is, what happens to the words of davening is that they no longer have to, or maybe even should, focus on the translation of the words. And they should no longer be bogged down, even to a certain degree, by this word and saying it right and saying it like this and saying it like that. They are now able to a certain degree to just allow the words to flow. Similarly to how it was in stage one, where the person was just saying, allowing the words to flow. But when they were allowing the words to flow in stage one, it was because they couldn't care less about it, right? I mean, I shouldn't say couldn't care less, because if they, you know, then they would just not do it. It was an achar. The moichin was achar, and the words, which is chava, was siphoning off of achar. So it was just Mrs. Nashim Ulamada. But in the third stage, the person is also just saying the words. But he's saying the words because he's in a flow. He's saying the words automatically because he's in a higher state of consciousness, and he's bigger than any particular word. It's like the Rambam, the Chaim Soloveitchik, used to say this also, that the essential kavan of davening is that I'm standing in Hashem's presence. When you're standing in Hashem's presence, then the particular, if that's the consciousness you're thinking of, and that's the space that you're in, then what the word Rifa'enu means exactly, it doesn't even matter to you. It mamish doesn't matter, because you're in a, because your zachar is experiencing even Maichin Deponim. And so when everything returns back to the Maichin of zachar, and zachar has that, then all Chava needs is just to siphon again. But instead of siphoning, so when she's just siphoning or just getting a ha'ara, an illumination, it means that her words are just said sort of by habit or by rote. But when all of that is coming because of just maichan d'achar, it means davening by rote because you don't care so much. But when it's coming because Adam, if it's coming from an illumination of maichan d'achar and maichan d'panim, it means that you're saying the words, you know, sort of, it's flowing, but not just by habit because you don't care less. It's because you're experiencing something bigger than what these words mean. Let me give you an example of this. Take a look at Maramukah number 4. And this is, by the way, let's go back to the Nusach. That's why the Yiratzin, what's the Yiratzin? Now, like I said from the Rosh Hashanah, the Yiratzin is, the Mavir Shena Me'enai is corresponding to the part of where the Meichen of Acher and Panim are returning to Adam. Adam wakes up. What's Vihi Ratzin? The next Yiratzin is talking about how then Chava siphons off a har, an illumination of the Meichin D'Achar and Panim, which Adam has. And what's the Nusach of the Bracha? Yiratzin Melfenach Hashem Elokai, that Hashem should, it should be His will, what? Should Targileini B'Sarasecha, that I should become accustomed to Torah Mitzvahs. What tefillah is that? Should Targileini B'Sarasecha? Regilus? What does Regilus mean? Regilus means things that I'm used to. That's what you want? You want Mitzvahs to be Ragil? Don't you want mitzvahs to be like the first time you ever experienced it? The answer is, not really. You want to be able to be part of a much larger consciousness of God's presence in your life, to the point of where it's a flow. It's just, this is what I do. Like, when you speak this, like, if you imagine someone, it's like, let's say someone's going to shul on Shabbos morning. You have three people, right? So one guy is in stage one. And you tell him, why are you going to shul? I don't know. I went to shul last week, I guess. I don't know. It's just part of my routine. I don't know. It's just what I do. I don't know. That's so his feet are moving. That's Rachel. That's Chava, I'm sorry, right? That's Chava. But Chava, and it's without a real consciousness. Like he's just, his feet are moving because that's what he does. I don't know. So it all it's getting is siphoning off of Iris. But all the Iris that it's siphoning off of is Moich and the Acher. So what does that result in? That results in a person moving his feet to shul by habit, and the whole thing is a little bit Mrs. Anashu Mamada. And then he feeds to another guy. What's the other guy? The other guy is, why are you going to shul now? Why am I going to shul? My week, my gosh. If I don't get to shul, I know what it's like not going to shul. Right? And I can't have not going to shul. That's where he's stage 2. You know what I'm saying? Because now when he's moving his feet, it's with a serious consciousness of moving his feet. And the moving of it, and the reason why there's consciousness there is because the zohar part of him, which is sensitive to God's presence throughout the universe, is kind of shut off. Therefore, everything is being funneled into just the activity of moving his feet. And then you have the third person, which is like that tzaddik, who's the number stage 3, and he asks the tzaddik, like, why are you going to shul? I go to shul because this is what a yid does. But not like the first guy that, because I have nothing better to do, or just because, like, this is what I'm used to doing. It's like David HaMelech said, you know, Chishavti Durachai, I can make all sorts of cheshbonis of what I'm supposed to do today. My feet just take me to shul. That's stage 3. So when you're davening v'targilenu b'sarasecha, that I should become accustomed to Torah mitzvahs, it means that I should become so deeply attached to Elikos that the most natural thing to me is to do Torah mitzvahs. And adarabba, I should be constantly in this flow where I don't even remember what I said. We have Ben Shemoneh Esrei all the time, right? You don't remember what you're up to, you know, but why? Is it because of stage 1 or is it because of stage 3? Because you could also not remember where you're up to because of stage 3. Because you're so in the presence of the king that I'm not sure what I'm saying. Maybe I'm saying Ravenu, maybe I'm saying Gol. I have no idea. Because it doesn't really matter. Or do I not remember what I said is because my mouth is just moving. I'm on stage 1. It's hard to tell the difference sometimes. So that's for Targalim Sarasecha. Why are we davening not to have any sayin? Sayin means that we should live up with it, live up to it, right? The answer is, everyone asks the question, Hashem makes nisyanis. The purpose of life is to go through nisyanis. When we're davening not to have any sayin, means we're asking for stage 3. That mitzvah should just be like, we should just be in that flow of avodas Hashem of Yiddishkeit, that things are just natural to us, in a good way. And to the point of where we don't even know what we're doing because of the higher consciousness that we're connected to. Again, that's the oimik of that bracha, Yehi Ratzon. Take a look at Maror Malkut number 4. Okay, now it's already, it's very late, so we're just going to go through it. But you survived the hard part, so you're good. So now we'll just go through it quickly. Maror Malkut number 4, listen to this Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says like this, it's a Yerushalmi and Brachas, Perek Beis, Halacha Dalet. The Yerushalmi says like this, Om Reb Chia, Ruba, Reb Chia the Great One said, such an amazing thing, Reb Chia the Great One, what does the Reb Chia the Great One say? So he's whatever the statement is, it's going to be expressing his greatness. So what does he say? Ano min yoimi loy kivanis. I never had kavanah by davening. I never had kavanah by davening. My entire life, I never had kavanah by davening. Elachad zamin boy mechavna. Reb Chia Rabba says, there was one time where I told myself, I'm going to have kavanah today. V'erhoris believi, v'amoris. And what happened was, instead of being able to have kavanah, I found myself, my mind wandered again. Like the one time that I wanted to have kavanah, my mind wandered. And where did it wander to? What was I thinking about? The thought was, man olo kame malka kadmi. Who goes first to a king? If you have a group of people that are going to a king, and you have very chashuva officers, and lesser chashuva officers, what's the order? Does the chashuva one go first, and then the lesser one? Or maybe build up. Maybe the lesser one goes first, and then the chashuva one goes. Man olo kame malka kadmi. Who goes first to the king? Arkavsa, Iresh Galusa. The higher official, the Arkavsa, or the lesser official, called the Resh Galusa. So says Reb Chia Abba, I never have Kavana. My entire life never have Kavana. The one time I wanted to have Kavana, this is the thought that popped in my head, I got distracted. So you read this Gemara, it's a pili ploy. The Gemara goes on, Shmuel Omer. Shmuel says, I never had Kavana either. What is my want? Where does my mind wander to? Ano manis efrechaya. I start counting chickens. That's what he said. I know manasa for chayit, chicks. I start counting chicks. That's where my mind goes to. Pili plain. Rabbun Barchia Omar, Rabbun Barchia said, Ano manas dumusya. My mind wanders, I start counting the bricks. The kids do that, right? Or maybe those of them show, like, you know, you can, how many like ceiling tiles. Rabbun Barchia says, that's what I'm by Davin. You know, I count the bricks. Omar of Masanya, Rav Masanya said, Ana machzik tevu l'roshi. I have to give a big yashukach to my head. The kadmati l'moidim b'kor l'megarme. Because when I get to moidim, it bows on its own. So I have to give a big yashukach. Pilei p'loim. Yishalmi. Maybe we could relate to some of these statements, right? Because Yishalmi is t'na amaroyim. Take a look at my remark number 5. All of the oimik of this, they're all describing level 3. You understand? They're all describing level 3. To not have kavana. What does it mean to not have kavana? So again, counting chicks by davening, right? You're counting ceiling tiles, right? You know, thinking about who goes into a king first, the head, the least chashad. If you're in level 1, you're also counting chickens. But you're counting chickens because the words are, the life force of your words is just a ha'ara of the meichen of achar, that's in zachar, that's in adam. So, chav is mamash shvach. Level 3 is also distracted. And it's also not paying so much attention to the words. But not because it doesn't care, but because level 3 means that you're connected to something much bigger than the words. And may the words just flow. Only in level 2 is there real kavan. Only in level 2. Because in level 2, again, as I said, the meichin are focused and funneled into chav. But that comes because of the lack of general divine awareness because Zachar is asleep. That's what forces level 2. But again, you have to go through that to get to level 3. Now you can't skip. You can't go from counting chicks to counting chicks. You know, you have to go from counting chicks to actually davening with kavana, and then you can go back to counting chicks. You can't. That's the process. Listen, take a look at Maromok number 5. This is from the Hechla Brach, the Kamarna. In Parshas Veschan, it's Pili Ploin, by the way. Parshas Veschan, that's not Veschan. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. It's Parshas Kisavai, all the curses of the Torah. So the Torah. So what the Pella is, if you take a look at the Sefer Hechal Bracha, every pasuk he touches it l'toiv. He touches how it's a bracha. Pili Ploin. So this is one of them. Take a look. The pasuk says, "Kromim tita vavadata." You'll plant vineyards and you'll work the vineyards. The yain lo tishta, but you're not going to drink the wine. V'lo seger, you're not going to be able to pile it up to save it. Kisechlen hatilas, because the worms will consume it. So that's a curse. That's the teicha. Says the Eichel Brach like this: the soid kramim, the secret of these vineyards that the pasuk is talking about, hema oisius. It's the words of davening. The letters, the words of davening. I didn't bring it down, but he quotes from the Zohar Kaddish to prove that. That krumim, a vineyard, is a mashal to words of davening. Vizel, so what does it mean? Krumim tita, you're going to plant vineyards, vavadata, and you're going to work the vineyard. Ba'avoyda shebelev zetzvila, what does it mean to work the vineyard? Avoyda means davening. So to work a vineyard means words, and avoyda of words means the avoyda of davening. The yayin, what does yayin mean? So what should a vineyard produce? A vineyard should produce wine. What does wine represent? Yayin kinoil hasaga hasichlis vadevekus k'mavu b'sifer rishayim. The wine that the krumim produce corresponds to real kavana, to the kavana that is imbued and invested in the words of davening. V'heinen hasaidas v'hayichudim v'kavanas atfila, all the secrets of the secret kavanas of the mekubalim, and you know, the kavana they have by davening, this asos hashefa v'advekus, and the attachment to Hashem that you feel in the words v'ara l'ki, and the divine light of the words, that's the wine. But what does the pasuk say? You're going to make a vineyard, you're going to work the vineyard, you're not going to taste the wine. You're not going to taste the wine. Why? So he says like this, avyesh madrega yosek avoya. Because there's a madrega that's higher than having kavana for the words, which is anamiyami la kavanas. He's referencing that Yerushalmi, that I never had kavana in my whole life. What is that madrega? Bispashtas agashmias oil madrega I v'chiyu v'argamoy chadbain. The person ascends to a level of sensitivity to Elokus, where the meichin deponim enters into Adam to the point of where everything is godliness itself, and you can't even limit God's presence and your experience to one particular word in davening. It's bigger than that. And your relationship to God is one of a worm. That you're just a worm crawling on the earth. In a good way, not in a bad way. In a good way. That you've nullified all your mamish in a higher conscious state, where all your chushim, where all your natural faculties have become batal, have become nullified. Like Rabbi Gershon Kitever said to his brother-in-law, the Baal Shem Tov, Rabbi Yisrael Baal Shem, he calls, very often the Kamarna calls the Baal Shem Tov, Ari Baal Shem, because Ari is also Eloki Rabbi Yisrael. So Kamarna does that. So he says, like one time, Gershon Kitever said to his brother-in-law, Kol zman sh'ati yedei umargish b'metziyah shalcha, as long as you are aware of your own existence, adayin le'igad atachas atfidah, still not davening. Still not davening. As long as you know your existence. The epitome of davening is what? That you don't even know that you exist, let alone what you're saying. That's what it means, I never had kavana. Like the Rechanina ben Daisa didn't feel when something bit him because of the dveikus that he was in. We find this by tzaddikim that all their senses are become completely nullified in their experience of davening. Now, which in fact what the Baal Shem Tov would experience two based on by davening. His face would change colors. One moment his face was fiery and red. And another second he would turn white. All different colors. He wasn't here. He wasn't here. Vizel, that's the meaning of the pasuk. So let's go back. Go back to the top. Karamim tita, you'll plant vineyards. It means that you'll say the words of davening. Vavadta, and you're going to do avayda. It's avayda. You're doing davening. V'yayin leitishta, but you're not going to even feel and drink the wine and the meichin and that's the kavana that is supposed to be in the words. V'leisek, you're not going to hold on to it. Why? Kisechlen atlas, because you've been consumed by worms. Because all you are is a worm. You've become lost in that experience of complete bittul to the point of where the words don't mean anything anymore, and nor should they. That's the Yishalmi. I never had any kavana my entire life. Now, by the way, we don't have time to go through each one of the Amaroyim. It's the Indian counting things and counting. But I guess a little bit. The first opinion was maybe we will. Rechia, you have to go. But Rechia Ruba said that again, he never kavana. One time he wanted to have kavana. What distracted him? The thought of who goes into the king first, the high madrigal, the lower madrigal, the lower madrigal, the higher madrigal. Yeah, this was going on. Like he couldn't force himself to have kavana because he was margish, that deep level of bittul, where there's no up, there's no down, there's no sideways, it's just ayin. That's what it means. Who comes before the king? The top, the bottom, it's all the same anyway. He couldn't force himself to have kavana because he was not stuck in a good way. He was lost in that meichin of absolute einoy movadai, of ein saif. And in ein saif, what comes first? Well, there's no coming first. What's the inyan of the next amaroyim, right? He's counting chicks, or he's looking at bricks. Take a look at Maromokim number 7. Maromokim number 6 is from the Ma'arvah Shemesh in Parashas Nitzavim. He basically says the same thing as the Kamarna, but I guess we could see it. It's very quick. It's not so long. V'cholkach, he says like this. V'cholkach tia machshav t'dvuka b'noyim Hashem. The real davening is supposed to be that your mind is so attached to this pleasantness of Hashem. Ad shelo yil loy p'nai afilu regel l'chavin ha'kavana. So you don't even have time for kavana. Forget, you don't have time for it. V'adam asher b'chin ezub. Let's say someone that's davening like that. Na'asim ha'kavanas v'yichudim aleyim. Then all of the things that the kavanas are supposed to accomplish, it happens on its own. Ha'idei tefilah zithu is tefilah. So it happens on its own. The person just goes in that state of bittul. Maromokim number 7. This is also from the Ma'arvah Shemesh in the beginning of Parshas Vayera. Listen to what he says. And this will explain why those Amoraim are counting chickens and counting bricks. Gam be'enai re'isi zois. The Ma'arvah Shemesh was a chassid of the Noam Elimelech. His sefer Ma'arvah Shemesh is a classic. You know, the Noam Elimelech is a sefer that's classic sefer of Rebbe's. Like what it means to be a Rebbe is the Noam Elimelech. Ma'arvah Shemesh is a sefer of chassidim, what it means to be a chassid. He was a chassid of many tzaddikim. So he says like this, Gam be'ena re'isi zois. The Rav Shemesh says, I saw this with my own eyes, mitzadikim, that be'esha bo l'dvekes gadol, that when they reached a level of intense dvekes, v'yumadavkim atzim ba'ol mitzlayonim, they were attached to the higher world, atshekimat v'yumisbatlim misyusam, to the point of where they almost expired, the mamish completely lost themselves, v'yuchaylim kimat li'yishar b'zeh oylam, and it's almost as if that they were not able to remain in life in the world. Where they had no choice but to do something physical, to physicalize themselves, to bring themselves down a little bit. With doing something physical. What would they do? They would look at something, play with something in their hands, do something tangible to keep themselves. Or they would look at somebody. They would look at somebody. Tzaddikim, you do this. They look at people. They look at you. And they're going, what did I do? It's not. They're using you as an anchor. That's sometimes. Uvezei yizgashmu atzmam. And by doing so, they keep themselves mekush, and they keep themselves some physical. V'yuchel harid atzmam mitvekusim. And they can sort of lower themselves from the intense tvekus. Li'yishar b'zoylam, to remain in the world. Uvem lo'yay matzalam davar lizgashim bay. And if a tzaddik isn't able to find anything like this, sometimes they have to leave shul to go just take a break, because to see something, to look at something, to do, just to bring themselves down. So go back to the Yerushalmi. What does Yerushalmi say? Who was it? Shmuel. Shmuel says, when I daven, I have to count chickens. Maybe a simple pshat means that, because if without thinking about chickens, he's going to die. He'll lose himself. The next Amar is counting bricks. If he's not counting bricks, then that's his Eitzah. That's how he holds himself into the world, you know? That was the first one. That's what I'm saying. Maybe that's the Chiluk. The first one says that I tried to have Kavana, and this is where my mind went, which was, I'm saying, that, yeah, I count chickens. And that's the thought that, they're not, and not always, but that's the thought that anchors them if they need to. Again, why chickens and why, I don't know, this is, you know, but that could be what's going on over here. But anyway, going back to what we said before, this is, so in other words, on a very, very practical, down-to-earth pashut, when you're davening, Mavir Sheinem Einai, and so on and so forth, this is the simple kavana. You're thanking the Rabbanu Shalom for giving you, and you're davening that you should be zeicher to this, to real, real spiritual sensitivity, Amavir Sheinem Einai, Ad Kedei Kach, that all of my Yiddishkeit should be natural and should flow, and I shouldn't even remember whether, you know, what bracha I'm up to in Shmoneh Esrei, simply because I'm so enraptured by the fact that I'm standing in front of the king. And to taste a little bit of that Targulena B'Sar Secha, to become a Yid that just is drawn to Shabbos and is drawn to Yiddishkeit because, not because they don't know, not because they're just used to it, but because that's simply who they are. It's simply who they are. They can't think of what it means. What would life be without that? That's not on their radar. Level 3. That's what the bracha is. Okay, Bez Hashem. We should be zeichet to that. Each one in their own way.